One grand experiment hidden within the Affordable Care Act was low-cost insurance startups. Nationwide, some 24 nonprofit insurance providers were authorized under the bill, and Nevada Health Co-op is among them. Some state co-ops have struggled to gain traction. Nevada's has made a dent in the market. Despite its own glitches, Nevada Health Co-op is expecting to reach its first-year target of 30,000 enrolled Nevadans. As CEO of Nevada Health Co-op, Tom Zumtobel experienced the turbulence of Nevada's first year running a health exchange, and he's learned some lessons. And he joins us now. Tom Zumtobel, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So with the deadlines for enrolling in health care plans behind us, how many people has the Nevada Health Co-op signed up?
We're right at 15,000 today. 15,000 and change, I guess.
And change. Can you still sign up online?
Yeah, they can, especially if you had some challenges getting through. Then you actually will be allowed your own special enrollment period, and people can choose to do an appeals process and get enrolled.
Okay, so if you do sign up, does insurance coverage begin in November with the next open enrollment?
No, it could start the first of the following month if you enroll before the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the co-op is one of 23 nationally. It started thanks to the $66 million grant tied to the Affordable Care Act. Despite the federal money, I guess leaving that to the side, what is the biggest financial challenge otherwise facing the co-op?
The biggest financial challenge is changing the way that people are used to receiving health care. And that doesn't sound like a financial challenge, but we really have to engage the patients and the doctors to change behavior a little bit, because there's so much waste that occurs, but people kind of think the waste is what they deserve, right? You know, in a weird way, they think it's services that they want. So kind of changing engagement is the biggest.
When you say changing the way in which we receive health care, describe a little bit of that for us. What is different from a for-profit insurance company?
For-profit, not-for-profit may or may not make a difference,
mm-hmm.
frankly.
Okay.
You know, it's I think in a lot of ways some of the for-profits are good because they grind a little bit harder, and I think it's important to be efficient, and we have to fight to make sure that we maintain our efficiency. But the difference is trust. It seems so simple, but the health plans have not historically worried about earning the trust of their members.
Has trust been a tough thing to build as you've gotten this underway? Or is this something that you found is one of the greatest strengths coming out of the gate?
It's so difficult to earn, and it's so easy to lose.
Is there a marketing element to this where you find a part of the challenge is to brand yourself and to make yourself known to prospective members?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Our most successful marketing was really outreach events, you know, community events where we would go to farmers markets or whatever was going on. And again, it's kind of that face-to-face. You know, if we get face-to-face with people, but that's not what most insurance companies would consider marketing. You know, they consider commercials and billboards and some of those things. That's exposure. But to us, it's not necessarily the answer. I think it's important. We have to have name awareness. You know how Las Vegas is. Everybody wants to go with a winner. And if they don't even know who you are, you're probably not considered a winner, right?
But it sounds like your approach is very much a grassroots, one-at-a-time kind of approach.
Absolutely.
And that can't be easy in a valley of 2 million people.
Vegas is so special, right? It's so unique that it would be maybe not possible in other markets. I always tell people when I talk to them that Vegas is more like Hawaii than any other state, right? And because we have these pockets of population. If you're in another state, you have 2 million people, but they're spread all over, right? And here you really have a chance, and that the community really does network with each other when you get into certain segments.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Tom Zumtobel, CEO of Nevada Health Co-op, a nonprofit health insurance alternative created under the Federal Affordable Care Act. In his role as CEO, Zumtobel's goal is to have the co-op enroll 30,000 members in its first year. He has one more open enrollment in November to reach that 30,000 figure. Earlier this year, we were getting stories of consumers feeling frustrated over joining the co-op, paying premiums, and then finding out doctors were not in the network. And many were told doctors can opt out of a network at any time. Are doctors still dropping out?
In the beginning, it wasn't even as much that they were dropping out. We leased a network from the Culinary Health Fund, and they made major network changes at the end of the year. And we were, with the exchange, we were obligated to communicate our network to them in October. So these changes happened in January. And so the network ended up being a little bit different in January than somebody who started to enroll early. part of the way that the doctor knows that they're in the network is that the member receives their ID card, and they show up at the appointment with the ID card, and then the doctor's able to go to, you know, whatever documents they have to track back and understand that they're on our plan. We didn't get a lot of our first enrollment file till December 28th. And so we weren't able to get ID cards in people's hands till the middle of January. So people went to the doctor's office and said they were the co-op, and it was brand new to the physician. So dropping wasn't a wholesale problem. It was a few docs dropped. It was communication and us getting to the doctors and making sure they realize that they're on the plan.
Now, we also heard of patients who thought they had signed up and then found out they were uninsured because of problems with the website. Have all of those issues been resolved over the last 6 months?
Shamefully, no. I met somebody this weekend that asked if I could help them to get through the, you know, through the website, and they've paid their money already and they still haven't got, and they're actually an Anthem. They're actually a member with Anthem, but I said if they got the information, I'd help them to go through the governor's office is sometimes the best way to get some of these things resolved, because it has just been so clumsy with Xerox. Even when you identify a problem and go to people, you know, who want to fix it, the system was just built so complex that it's been impossible for people trying to make it work to make it work.
Did they make the right decision, the state, in firing Xerox?
They had no choice, from my perspective. Xerox just didn't get better. You know, it's one thing to have the problems, but it's another thing to have some kind of sense that it's improving a little bit, and there were no signals that it was getting any better.
What were the worst problems, some of the worst problems you encountered during Xerox's tenure?
The list is pretty long. You know, I mean, it goes back to the initial shopping experience with the members October 1st when it opened up. You know, it just was not a shopping experience that worked. And even if it worked, it was not consumer-oriented. You know, now you're used to going to an app and have things happen, you know, fairly rapidly. And it was not a good experience. And then and there's still people that have signed up that still aren't enrolled.
Okay, so Nevada Health Co-op is essentially going to transition from Xerox's infrastructure to the federal infrastructure. And I would assume you're planning that for that next enrollment period come November.
Yes.
Yeah, how will you do that?
Well, it's a heavy lift, and we didn't have it built into our business plan. And so we're looking for vendors.
Do you think Nevada can make the transition to the federal system quickly enough to meet the November start date?
I do. The federal exchange is up and running, right? So the big transition ends up being some of the shopping, some of the branding on the front end for the state, so that people start at the state, but they really just get plugged into the federal exchange. So that's not that difficult. And then a lot of the burden falls on the carriers to interface with the new with the federal exchange. After what we've been through, this will be better.
What happens if you're not able to make it by the enrollment period?
If we're not able to make it, then we, you know, able to make it it could be defined, I guess, in segments, right? But when you say able to make it, that we're not able to offer our products on the exchange, then we miss next year's enrollment. That would be the end result. Yeah. And it would be devastating.
The Nevada Health Co-op has three sponsors. The Culinary Local 226's Health Fund, Unite Here Health, and Health Services Coalition. Talk a little bit about your relationship with them. How do those relationships work?
They were sponsors for the initial application. So they all came to the table for us to fill out the application for the loan in the beginning. And primarily Unite Here came with financial resources that allowed us to put the application together, because we had to hire actuaries and attorneys. And the Culinary Health Fund gave us access to their expertise in healthcare delivery. And the Health Services Coalition is a group of local employers and unions that buy hospital services together, and they gave us access to their market strength. And those three pieces together made us gave us the ability to package a credible application.
Curious to know, why would a union health fund sponsor a nonprofit? I mean, isn't it a bit of a contradiction when union leaders have said the rules could put them out of business?
Yeah, the unions had their business model potentially impacted by the ACA, right? Mm-hmm. A big part of their business model is bringing healthcare to their membership. And then all of a sudden, the ACA kind of rocked their world, and they didn't follow the ACA as closely as maybe, you know, at the end of the day, they go, wow, this is different than maybe what we expected. They think access to healthcare is great, but then it did impact their model. So politically, they have not been big supporters of the ACA, but they have been big supporters of improving quality and and bringing competition to Nevada. And so that's why they embraced it.
Governor Sandoval and others at the beginning of this whole process said it was very important for Nevada to control its own health insurance plans, which was ultimately why they built the Silver State Exchange. Is that state-based control no longer as important?
I think it's extremely important. I've been very impressed all the time with Sandoval, the way that he puts Nevada first. And I think it was a little bit risky for him, frankly. And healthcare is local. And you have to be able to influence the decisions and the development of some of the solutions. And I think if it ends up being plugged into a federal solution, I don't think it's as good for Nevada. I think it's valuable to keep it local, but it's hard to, the future is pretty uncertain with healthcare also at the same time. So I wouldn't want to sit here and talk like I know, you know.
Sure.
But I think if you're not doing, you're making a mistake, frankly.
Yeah. Will there be more plans available on a federal website, or will the current plans simply transition to a site for Nevada residents?
We're going to increase our offerings. I don't know about the other carriers, if they will or they want, but I suspect there will be some more offerings. I think everybody, the first year you had to figure it out a little bit, and now you have a much better base to make some more consumer-oriented offerings to meet their needs a little bit better. And plus, we understand a little bit better how they're conveyed on the website, because it was hard to shop for value the way that the website was set up. And so I think that we all have learned a lot this year, and I think there will be more offerings.
Yeah. Got to ask you one more question just about the name of the organization. When most people hear co-op, I imagine they may think of things like, say, an organic grocery store in Santa Monica or a hippie compound in Oregon or, you know, in the rural Midwest, farmers co-ops and such. So what is the difference between Nevada Health Co-op and a regular for-profit insurance provider?
Well, all your examples of co-op are, you know, we're in that same space. And co-ops, historically, if you think about it, they really have, they're organic in most cases, and they're when either a service is not available or an affordable price is not available to consumers, and they need to figure out a way to grow an alternative, right? They come together and grow an alternative. This co-op needed the loans from the federal government to meet the solvency requirements for the state. But after that, we're like any other co-op, frankly. And if we're successful, we will have our membership engagement that they're not spending an insurance company's money, but they're spending their money, right? And if we could make that transition, but I always, the easiest way as I think about it, we're like a credit union compared to a bank, you know, and the insurance companies are banks and we're a little bit more like a credit union.
Tom Zumtobel, the CEO of Nevada Health Co-op. Tom Zumtobel, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.